All right. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to start in verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Ellen, remember that. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, help us tonight. Help us to rightly divide the word tonight. Teach us a lesson that'll go deep into our hearts and change our lives. Help us to have an open spirit and an open mind as the word of God is taught tonight. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. I want to use tonight to take you to another level of Christianity. I want to use this to take you to another level of love in your Christianity. I want you to enjoy the maturity, the ripe fruit, the sweetness. Did you ever bite into something that some fruit that wasn't ripe yet? It'll set your teeth on edge. When I was a boy, we had a grapevine that was between our garden and the neighbor's garden. He grew Concord grapes, you know, the big purple ones. Oh, they were great. But about June, May or June, them puppies were as big around as your thumbnail and as green as grass. Well, if it's hot out there and you've been playing baseball and the wiffle ball goes under there, the baseball goes under there, the tennis ball goes under there, you'd grab it and throw it. And while you're under there, grab a handful of them puppies and stick them in your mouth. Man, it made your toenails come out your head. I mean, it would just... they were sour. But I got used to them to where I could actually endure them and kind of liked them for a while, but you couldn't eat very many of them, that's for sure. That immature, that unripe fruit, it's not good. All right? Now, I want you to understand something very sweet about godly, biblical love. But here's the thing. I don't want you just to have knowledge that only gets stuck here is worthless. See, well, I know this fact. I know that fact. I know this fact. God says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. Some of us think because we know certain things that we're a good Christian. God doesn't judge us by what we know. He judges us by what we live.
That's good.
So don't tell me how much you know. Show me how much you live. That's where we're headed tonight. Now, this is a very interesting passage to me. I long to love people the way God does. I long to love God the way He loves me. I want people to get the love they need and the love they want. Now, sometimes you have to understand, the love you want isn't the love you need. Did you ever see a kid do something bad and he comes up to hug mom? And you're like, okay, what'd you do wrong? He's wanting a hug. He's wanting loved on, but he's going to get something else rubbed on after a while. Because I'm sure he did something, amen? Now, sometimes we don't even know what we need for love. So we need to do it as God would. Sometimes love needs correction. Sometimes love needs to be bold or aggressive. Sometimes love needs to be gentle or compassionate. See, love is necessary in all levels of relationship. Tonight, I want to help you. God tells us that there are different levels of love. He uses them here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, the word charity and the word love is the word agape, which is God's type of love. We've spent several weeks on that. And there are different levels of God, of love. God says there's a childish love. He said there's an adult love. Then he said there is a perfect love. So there are three, and by the way, I want you to notice something. All three of these are love. All three levels are love. It's not that one is a better love than the other. They're all love. I have a glass of water. If I had a bigger glass or a gallon jug, and then I had a barrel, and it all had water in it, it's still all water. It's just the amount that each vessel holds. So, Asa, come on up here for a second. I'm going to borrow you. You stand right there. Julianne, come on up here. I'm going to have you come on up here. Let's see here. Who can I pick on tonight? I need somebody old. April, why don't you come on up here? That was too good to waste. You know, stand next to Asa here. I was actually putting you close enough to Jim so you could slap him. Now watch this. Childish love, teen love, and adult love. Can I tell you something? His love is as much love as hers is. And her love is as much as his and hers. It's the same thing. It's still love. But it's different vessels. You may be seated. That helps me. We're going somewhere with this. You okay with it now, April? Mad at me? We're going to get there. Don't get too mad yet. You'll kill me later. God's telling us that the love of a child is love. God also tells us that the love of, let's say, teens or young adults is love. But he also said there's something called perfect love, or the ability to progress. Now, listen to this statement. This is what I want you to get. Love has the ability to mature. Love has the ability to grow and to mature and become an adult, or even what God uses the term perfect, and we'll get into that in a little bit. This means God expects our love to grow. Did you know, after being married for 27 and a half years, I love my wife more now than I did 28 years ago? I know how to love her better. I know how to aggravate her more, too. God wants us to have the most mature love that we can possibly have. Now, listen to this. The more mature we are, the deeper our love goes. And the more ability God has to get love from us and to love through us. The older I get, and the more people I have loved, the more easy it is for me to love people. Somebody that's never loved anybody, though they may be older than me, doesn't understand love like I do because they haven't loved as many people. Does that make sense, everybody? Nod your head or shake your head. Do something with it, all right? That way I know at least you're awake, all right? Other than this, all right? The love of a child is a wonderful thing. Now listen to this, but you can't build a marriage on the love of a child. If the only love that a husband has for a wife is childish, let me say it this way. Divorces happen because of childish love in a marriage. When somebody won't grow up and be the adult, that's when divorces take place. Somebody has to be the adult in the situation, and preferably both. This is why we often have problems between friends, because somebody is acting childish. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. Amen, preacher. Childish love on one or both parts creates or allows the conflict. This is why churches have conflict and sometimes split, because you have a person or a group of people acting childish. I know churches that have split over what type of chicken to serve at the 4th of July picnic. I literally have watched churches split over that. I've watched churches split over what color they painted an auditorium. Can I tell you something? I'm colorblind. Who gives a flip? I know churches that if somebody spent money to buy flowers for the memorial service, and it didn't come from a board of directors who decided it, that they got mad and they left the church. Well, I'll pay for the stupid flowers myself. Stay in church and quit acting like a child. Amen. Everybody doing all right?
Yeah.
Now, that's their fault for being part of a board-run church, but I've watched it happen. You see, childish people will not act like adults and fix their conflict. God wants us to love like He does so that there is a deeper expression and it's not just childish. Now, listen to this statement. This is not politically correct. But if you only have childish love, your love is, and I'm going to use a word that's not always accepted anymore, but it's not a bad word. But if a child never matures, they're retarded. Right. They're slow. Mm-hmm. I know we're not supposed to use that word. It is a real word that means slow or immature. Look it up. Now, can I tell you something? If your child didn't ever stop acting like a 3 or a 4-year-old, you'd say, something's wrong with my child. You know, when they're 20 years old and they still act like they're 3, you know you got a problem. Now, Wiley hasn't got that far yet. Now, wait a minute. We love our children, but we don't really want them to stay a child their whole life. We enjoy some of the different stages of them, and we wish we had some of those expressions. But let me tell you, I'm almost 50 years old, and I'm glad I don't have babies at home. Praise God. I'm glad I don't have diapers to change for children. Amen? I didn't change them anyway. But I don't even want to take them out to the trash. Now, you see, watching my children love as an adult now is even better than the slobbery childish kisses. You know, I'm enjoying watching my children as adults loving on other people. My son Jeff, he was talking to his mom last week. And he said, Mom, he said, what's the schedule when you guys are out here? He said, your birthday's coming. You're going to be here. He said, I'm going to steal you away for a little while. I'm going to do something for you for your birthday. Whew. He said, I don't know. You'll have to talk to Brother Stoltz, whatever he needs. He said, I'll talk to him. He said, I'm going to get my mom for her birthday. He said, I can't have you on your birthday, but if you're here, I'm going to take advantage of it. As a dad, I loved the fact that he was loving his mom. That made me pleased. That's better than a, I love you, Mommy. By the way, he couldn't see his mama smiling and the tear in her eye while she was doing it. I could. That's a good young man. Enjoying watching them love. I'm enjoying watching my son and daughter-in-law in their marriage love each other. And I'm loving watching them love church people as they build a new ministry. Brother Provost told me, he said, we had a record number of men in church this last Sunday. He said, Josh is doing something. Well, Josh's first Sunday with his Sunday school class, he had 11 people and 9 of them were men. He brought 9 new men to church on Sunday in one day. I said, keep it up, boy. He said, Dad, he said, it's easier for me to get men than it is women. I said, hang on, it'll change eventually, but enjoy it while you got it, man. Can I tell you something? I'm enjoying watching that. I'm enjoying watching my daughter work on bus routes, and she teaches a little girl's Sunday school class on Sundays, and she's loving her girls. And let me tell you something. I enjoy now watching them being able to love someone else other than mom and dad. You say, why? That's maturity. Now, let me take a drink. Let me go through these stages real quickly here, and I think I can help you. First level is childish love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. This is in reference to love. Childish love is reactive. Childish love is responsive. It's not initiating. A child doesn't
initiate love. It reacts to love. It responds to love.
A baby doesn't just pop out and say, I love you, Mom. No, it reacts to love. Even children, as they start waddling around and toddling around and smiling and all that other stuff and cooing, they're still reacting to love. They're not actually initiating love. Childish love is selfish. It's all about them. Everybody doing okay? Let me show you what I mean. I want it. That's mine. This is how I want it. No, I want it this way. I want it now. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sound familiar? Okay. It's not yours, it's mine. Put two kids in the room and put one truck between two boys and the strongest one wins, amen? Well, that's my truck. No, it's my truck now. No, it's my truck. Somebody's going to get conked, amen? You know, I'm only happy if I get what I want and when I want, and it doesn't matter what anybody else wants. Did you know that a child doesn't care who's eating when as long as they're getting fed when they want to get fed? They don't even care what anybody else is eating as long as they get what they want. So childish love is very selfish. It's very self-centered. It's all about them. And again, that's not because that's just one of the stages we go through. We have to learn to love. Childish love is sincere love, but it is a very low level of love. Please don't get me wrong. I understand loving babies and loving little children, and I love them all, especially when they're not mine. I can send them away, amen? I have no problems loving babies and infants and children and the little kids, amen, Brother Joe? I love the loud ones, the quiet ones, the rowdy ones especially. I love them all. If you would have seen me on Christmas Eve day with our bus kids in here, I was having a time. And there's not a one of those kids, they still... preacher, when you preaching again? You know, they're ready. They don't like Brother Joe, that's why. But I love them. They know it. They jump off the bus every Sunday and, I love you, preacher. I love you too. I love you. Hey, boy, come over here. Shake my hand. I love you. You're ugly still. And play around with them a little bit. Now, wait a minute. But can I tell you something? If that's the only love somebody has, their love is pretty shallow. You're not going to build a love relationship in a marriage that is so selfish like that. Won't happen. So childish love is sincere, but it's a very low level of love. That's like a shot glass of water compared to a bucket of water. It's still water, but you're not going to go very far on just a mouthful. You know, that mouthful only lasts so long. Now, adults often have conflict in relationships because we act selfish and childish with our love. Ouch. Let me use some very obvious things. Adultery is acting childish in a marriage. It's somebody wanting something that's not theirs to have, but they take it anyway because they want it. That's childish. Okay, I'm not looking at anybody.
Arguing with somebody. Most of our arguments are about nothing.
Okay, you can't say I was looking at you. Did you ever really think about what you ever argued with somebody about at home? Usually it was something pretty silly. Most of the time, 10 minutes later, you don't even know what you're yelling and screaming about. You really don't. Refusing to accept the faults in yourself or someone else is pretty childish. Did you know when you wake up in the morning, your breath stinks? Do you know when you go to bed at night, your feet stink too? Nobody's going to get away from that. Everybody doing all right? We all have faults. But not accepting somebody's faults. Isn't it amazing how if you get a little upset with somebody, you're just like your mother. Now you brought somebody else into the thing. Good night. Is all you did was stir the pot like a baby would. You remind me of one of my children that used to say, well, Mom said it was okay. Well, Mom's not in charge of this. I am. And you didn't probably even check with your mom. And either way, you're not doing it. But Mom, go ahead, go talk to her. What'd your dad say? No, then it's no. You didn't tell me you already talked to him. It's no. But Mom, too late. But some of you would start fussing and feuding over that. If we'd join forces together, we wouldn't have as much of that. Good night. Every time my wife did something with my kids, I didn't ask her what she was doing. Sometimes it sounded like World War IV. One day, one of those kids was squalling. Good night, what's going on? She's killing them. After about 5 minutes of this, I walked up there and said, what's going on? She said, nothing. I said, what are they screaming for? I had to wash their face off. They didn't want to wash it off. I washed it anyway. Oh, wait a minute. I wasn't worried about the kid squalling. I just wanted to know why. If he needed beat, let me beat him. If it took you that long to get him beat, let me do it and get it over with. Amen? But wait a minute. We refuse to accept somebody else's fault. That's childish. Here we go. Childish love is all about me. Me first. Got to wiggle to the front of the line. We got to have our stuff first. I got to have what I want, and then everybody else gets what's left over. I taught my children without them even knowing I was teaching them. When we would sit down to eat, I made sure my wife got her food first. Now, often, she was serving it from somewhere else, and the plate got put in front of me first. There was always an argument who got served first, her or me. But you know, the kids got served last, not because I didn't love them, but I wanted them to realize somebody else comes before you. I never started eating without my wife being there.
That's good.
Never. Yeah. If a phone call came in, we sat at the table and waited. Say why? Because Mom's not with us. Everybody doing all right? Children don't see the needs of others because they only see what they want. They're not looking for the needs of someone else. Childish love only gets what they want. On payday, we go and spend money on us instead of making sure everybody else has what they need. When this comes in or that happens, we make sure we're cared for and everybody else gets the leftovers. Well, bless God, that's my paycheck. I can spend it as I want. Yes, you can, but that's childish. My daddy taught me a long time ago, You have the right to be married when you can take care of somebody else the way they've been taken care of their whole life. I happened to promise my mother and father-in-law that I was going to take care of their daughter, and I've kept my promise. And she gets taken care of before I do. Everybody doing okay? I got to hurry up. So, first of all, we have childish love. Then we have adult love. 1 Corinthians 13:11 again, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is love that has grown through decades of time and weathered mistakes. Did you know just because of age, did you know that just because of age, that you earn the right to love a little bit more deeply than someone else? Did you know that Julianne has a bigger capacity of love than Asa? Not because she's bigger, but because she's experienced more life. Did you know I've, well, Ellen's older than me. Did you know that Ellen can actually have more capacity to love than Julianne because she's experienced that much more life? You see, we've already made the mistakes of our life up to the point we are. Therefore, we should be able to love more deeply because we've already made those mistakes. Can I tell you when I got the most frustrated, and when I still get the most frustrated with somebody? When I know what they should do, but they won't listen to me? They're going to make the same mistake I have already made, and they won't listen to somebody that's made the mistake? Boy, that's frustrating to me. My wife would have to get me and say, honey, back off those boys. But they're about to blow it. Yeah, well, you did too when you were their age. They're not listening. You got to let them make the mistake. Ooh, I hated that. My passion to keep them from making the mistake caused me to have conflict with them because I didn't want them to make the mistake. I already made the mistake. Now listen to me, stupid. You're about to really blow it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I had to back off and let them make those mistakes. Because my love for them didn't want them to make the mistakes, but their lack of maturity to listen to somebody that's already made the mistakes. Now, adult love learns to put what it wants aside to give someone else what they want. Seriously. Adult love puts off what you want to give somebody else what they need or what they want first. And I better just keep on moving because I got to hurry up here. Adult love seeks to love and not be loved. Let me say that again. Adult love seeks to love. It doesn't seek to be loved. Do you know that I personally don't seek somebody to love me? I never look to be receiving love. I never go find somebody to... I've never walked up to Brother Joe Lopez and say, Brother Joe, will you love me? I need a hug.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Number one, I don't want hugged by something that ugly. There ain't never been a man that's ever made me tingle. Brother Ron Kistner and I were up making a hospital visit last week, and we were walking somewhere, and I ended up bumping into him, and our arms bumped each other, and he said, leave me alone, preacher. I said, don't worry, I didn't grab for your hand. I said, and I didn't tingle either. I said, about vomited, but I didn't tingle. Wait a minute. I'm glad I can joke with him that way. But can I tell you something? I don't go around looking to be loved. I go around looking to love. And I'm not the greatest example, I understand. It just doesn't work. Let me put it this way. Just because you go to work and pay the bills doesn't mean you love. I know a lot of lost people that pay bills, and they don't love. Adult love is not just paying the bills, it's meeting the needs of the people you pay the bills for. Not just financially, but emotionally and compassionately. Moving on. Adult love is supposed to be able to reproduce its love and to teach what it reproduced to others. So adult love reproduces its love and it's able to teach somebody else how to love. Do you know that I have more ability to love because I get to teach love to more people? And the more I teach it, the more I can love. You know, that's why it's easier to love grandchildren, because you've already loved your children. And you've already taught your children to love. So now you get to receive the benefit of already teaching someone how to love in all those years of loving someone. That's why it's so much easier to love a grandchild. I heard my dad say more than once, if I knew grandkids were so fun, I'd had them first. You can hear my dad say that too, and it's probably true. Adult love puts its own desires or its own, I'll use the term, modern term, bucket list on hold to give others what they need and want. You know, I don't have a bucket list. I really don't. going on this crazy elk hunt this fall. Say, well, that's part of your bucket list. No, one day I looked at my wife and said, sure would be fun to do that someday, but I know it's no way it's ever going to happen in my lifetime, and I'm not even thinking about it, and I never have. Brother June and I were talking one time. I said, there's a certain car. It's my favorite car. I said, but I don't even want one. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I had it. It's so impractical. I'd rather make sure my wife has what she wants. I'd rather my kids have what they want. I really don't want it. I like it. Just because I like something doesn't mean I want it. Everybody doing okay? So adult love puts what it wants on hold to give everybody else what they want. And I have to hurry. So we have childish love. We have adult love. Number three. I got my three before my two there. Sorry. Number three, we have perfect love. Look at verse number 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. That word perfect does not mean sinless. It doesn't mean faultless. The word perfect there means complete, composed, secured, or nailed in place. This pulpit is, all but this part, perfectly held together. It's nailed in place. It's secure. It's complete. These boards aren't coming apart because I can't beat on those hard enough. This one did. But it's perfect. It's complete. The Bible talks about perfect love. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse number 17. I need you to hurry because Brother Jim took so long on his song service tonight, and I'm trying to let you out on time. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 17. Herein is our love made, what's the next word?
Perfect.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Watch this. But what kind of love?
Perfect
love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now, look at me if you will. Perfect love gives confidence to the receiver. Perfect love puts confidence in the recipient of the love. Look, watch this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That doesn't mean that you're going to have boldness in the day that you judge somebody else. It's in the day that you are judged by someone. That day of judgment is when we face God. We have perfect love in the fact that we have the ability to receive judgment, and it gives us confidence. Perfect love doesn't enslave or dominate or suppress. Okay, let me put it this way. I love my wife. I miss her already. Don't you feel sad for me? No. I love my wife. I don't suppress my wife. I don't enslave my wife. I don't say, bless God, woman, I'm the man, you're the woman, you have to follow me. That's not love, that's stupidity. I hate to tell you. Well, your job is to submit. Well, sometimes if we'd listen to them, we wouldn't have to get in those situations because they're right and we're wrong.
Yep.
My Bible said submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, it says wives, submit yourselves, wives unto your own husbands. Also in the same chapter says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Mm-hmm. She has a brain between her ears. Use it. Borrow it. Sometimes they'll save you a whole bunch of stupidity. You see, perfect love doesn't make somebody feel like a slave. We use the word submit. And we think, well, bless God, that means suppression. That's what the liberals want you to think it means. Okay? Did you know that in... I hate to burst your bubble, but back in the times of slavery, do you know that most of the slaves in the South didn't want to leave their masters? They were employees. Mm-hmm. It's not like roots. I'm going to give you another fact. Go check it out. And you have to read books written before 1900. But did you know there was no such thing really as the Underground Railroad? Do you know that less than 100 people were ever pushed along the Underground Railroad? It's all been fabricated. Everybody doing okay? I'm not trying to make anybody mad. Most of the slaves did not want to leave because they were paid employees. They had a place to live. They raised their families there. They loved their masters. I met slaves when I was in South Carolina. They were old people that used to work on the tea and the cotton plantations down in South Carolina. I've met them. They said, oh, no, it's not like what they tell you. Can I tell you something? Perfect love doesn't enslave anybody. I got to hurry here. Perfect love relieves fear to the receiver. Do you know that perfect love shouldn't create fear? Come on up here, Asa. You know, he wasn't... Ooh, man, you shocked me, boy. Now, wait a minute. You know, this boy's not afraid of me. You know why? Because he knows his preacher loves him. Now, I pick on him. But most boogers do get picked. All right? Now, wait a minute. You know that this boy can come... He's been to my office before. He'll say, preacher, I got a question for you. He's just as sincere as any of you adults that come to my office with a question. You know, he's not afraid to ask me anything. Are you? Have a seat. You know why? There's a perfect level of love there. He's not afraid to ask his preacher. He might not always like the answer, but I'll tell him the truth and he knows it. I'm not going to, and when somebody comes to me, I got a stupid question, preacher. No such thing to me. If you have a question, I got an answer. May not be the question you ask, but I got an answer. You see, perfect love doesn't have to have people afraid of them. They shouldn't be afraid to ask you for anything. You know, my wife should never be afraid to ask me for anything. And she's not. She's not. Perfect love is approachable for any reason. I don't want any person in this church afraid to come ask me any question. I hope that you believe I'm approachable about anything. I really do. There's not one topic that you should be afraid to approach your preacher about. I'll never look down my snoot at you. Good night. I help everybody from they got toenail problems to they got AIDS to they got cancer to where they got cold sores. You name it, I'll help them with it all. I've helped people pick out houses and look at cars and trucks. Amen, Brother Joe. I've helped people shovel manure. We've cut wood. We've looked at trees. I've looked at houses. I've advised many different things. I've helped people get people to work for you and subcontract things and contract things. Good night. I'm involved in that stuff all the time. Well, bless God, I can do it myself. Yeah, but every once in a while, it's good to get some advice. I gotta quit. There's childish love, there's adult love, and then there's perfect love. God's love is perfect even though we don't always get what we ask for. Just because it's asked for doesn't mean you get it. Mommy sitting in the cart at the grocery store and they put the candy right at the checkout. Mommy, I want that one. Uh-uh. But, nuh-uh. Usually if my kids asked for it, they never got it. They knew it. Then they started learning to look at it without saying anything. They got the hint. About the first time they looked at it and didn't say anything and they just did this. If I had a couple extra cents, I did it because they didn't ask for it. Man, their eyeballs got big. And then I'd say, don't count on it next time. You see, all love is love. But do you want childish love? Do you want adult love or do you want perfect love? I think we can have all three. But God wants us to have that perfect love where it casts out fear, it has boldness, gives confidence to people. That's what perfect love is all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed.